Message, and we're going to be dealing with the silence of passion. And I needed to have the first two slides up there. Okay, we'll start with that one. Thank you. And so, you know, I wanted you, this is because the word passion jumps out on this. I wanted you to see this because we need that in our life. And you'll hear this morning. My goal today. Truly, my goal today is to reignite passion in this church. The passion that we need to serve God. And the reason that we have passion is as you'll see here in this slide, Jesus. You look at that, and Jesus is why we are who we are today. That's who Jesus is in our life. That's who he is. It's because of him is who we are. Not because of anybody else, but because of Jesus Christ. He's our King. He's our Savior. He's our God. He is worthy of all praise. He is the one that we repent to. He is the one that we sing our praise to. He is the one that we literally take our prayers to. And he's the one that showed us the example of passion to serve. So I want you to just, you know, be with me now as we move into this message, is to understand that the silent of passion in the church, and because I wrote these messages with the silent of, because there's no noise of it any longer. No noise of it. And Christians should make noise. We should make noise. The most impressed I've been with Christians is when I'm at some location where it's a secular location and there's Christians that are so passionate for Jesus, they come over to your table to tell you about their church service. And you tell them that you're pastors and we got a great church. They said, that's okay, we just wanted to tell you about our church. That's passion. Amen. That's passion. Passion's a good word. I know the world has used the word passion to twist and speak about lust and various things like that, but that's not what God's plan was. Passion is a word that God is interested in our life every day. And follow along now in John 2, 16 through 17 as I read this. John 2, 16 through 17. Then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, get these things out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a marketplace. He's saying there's no passion in this. Stop all this stuff you're doing because this isn't what God wants for the house. Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures. And, you know, I want us to remember this. Passion for God's house will consume me. Say that with me. Passion for God's house will consume me. The question is, do you have the passion that you had when you first gave your heart to the Lord? Does that fire burn deep within your spirit that was there when Jesus moved into your heart? Or when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit of the living God with fire? That passion to serve and that passion to be alive in Christ Jesus, to be a walking advertisement for God. The Bible calls us earthen vessels who carry around a treasure. You're a treasure chest for Jesus. Amen. And we need to be able to see what it says there. The keys that the church has misplaced, and these are the keys I just mentioned. The sound of repentance. That moment of repentance, that noise of repentance. I was reminded by the Holy Spirit yesterday that after I had told my wife that she needed me more than she needed Jesus because I was such an arrogant, belligerent man who was on such a trip of how much money I made and how important I thought I was. And when Jesus came into her life, I made that crazy statement, that sinful statement, that disrespectful statement to God. But then I was reminded by the Holy Spirit that when I got back to the home in Stuart, Florida, that I fell into a bedroom bed there and I, all of a sudden, God showed me, not him. And I saw how ugly that I was in my spirit. And for an hour and a half, I screamed and wept and cried and screamed and wrapped myself up in a blanket and yelled, put my face in a pillow and yelled and screamed because I saw how ugly and how desperate I was in need for Jesus Christ and how incredibly arrogant that I was to say that someone would need me more than the Creator and the Savior of the world. By Him, all things were created, in Him, by Him, and through Him. Amen.
Amen.
The sound of repentance was coming out of that bedroom that day. The cry of sorrow for offending the very God who created me and created you. Do you remember your day? When you decided, I need God more than I need this world. I need God more than I need my problems. I need more of God in my life than anything else that I could ever consider. Amen. Second is that sound of praise. And I know that I'm being strong here, and I know that how I sound may be a little brass this morning. I don't mean it to be. It's just more so the Spirit of the Lord in me, just so troubled about how worship and praise in the church has become this performance. All across America, performance. Instead of praise. You know, you don't need a group to praise with. You can be all alone somewhere and just worship Him. Praise Him. Where tears run down your face. And God touches your heart. And through praise, people get saved. They get healed. They draw close to God. They get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Their lives change through praise. We watched something last week. We had a beautiful service last week and an awesome message spoken into our life. But even before that message started, there were people dancing before the Lord, weeping before the Lord. It got beyond performance. It came to praise. Where nothing mattered. I don't care who sees me. I don't care who judges me, who criticizes me. I don't even care if they have me for lunch after service. I'm going to dance before my God. That's praise. That's praise. That's saying when you dance before the Lord, you're saying, Jesus, will you dance with me? Will you dance with me? Because I need to dance with you. More than I need anything in this world, I need to dance with you. I need to praise you. And then that missing key or that misplaced key of prayer. Every day you should pray. Every day. You should speak to God. He's not hard to talk to. He's really not. He's not hard to communicate with. He's really not. He wants to hear your heart. He wants to hear what you need. He knows it already, but He wants to talk with you. And He wants to hear your heart. He wants to know that you know that He's hearing you. Everyone has a lot to pray about in this world we live in today. Prayer should be the life breath of every church, of every minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of every lay minister, of every personality that is in church. Prayer should be their life breath. And then today, the sound of passion, what Jesus showed there that day in that outer court of that temple, was the sound of passion. What are you doing in this church? This is not a place to be selling doves. This is not some sort of a fair, a county fair with booths. This is the house of God. We should be praising Him. We should be praying to Him. We should be asking forgiveness. We should be having passion in church. So what does passion mean? What does it mean? Passion is when you put more energy into something than is required to do it. Amen. More energy that's required. I think the church today is in a place where they put just enough. We don't want to be too excited about something. Just enough. We should be so empowered by God. So empowered that we want to do more than what's required. Somebody said to me, you know, Dennis, one of the greatest things that you do and one of the things that we are so inspired by is because you have your hands in so many things in the kingdom. And one guy says, yeah, you always bite off more than you can chew, but you always end up chewing it. Well, let me tell you something. It's because I have a passion for people. I don't look at a person because they're a human being. I look at a person because there's a soul indwelling within them. And they're destined for two locations. And I'm going to do all I can to tell them about the destination that will make their whole life forevermore. Amen. Heaven. Amen. Praise God. Why do you pastor two churches? They say, "What is? What, how do you do this? Why are you a circuit preacher in the day that we live in?" Well, first of all, I love the inner city. I love urban ministry. I love the people that live in the urban ministry. And then I see the city of Santa Cruz, California, that is so engulfed in sin. So liberal. It doesn't make sense to me to think that there shouldn't be a church there of God. And for God? Well, there's already churches there, Pastor. That's all right. There's a need for more. Amen. To have that passion to see sin broken out of people's lives. To touch their lives. It is more than just enthusiasm or excitement. Passion is ambition that it is materialized into action to put as much heart, mind, body, and soul into something as possible. Wow. Would you reflect on this for a moment? I mean, I really feel like preaching here, and I'm holding back a little bit. I feel like I'm in a racetrack right now, and they're about to shoot the gun or ring the bell, and the door's going to open, and I'm gone. That's how I feel. That's how much I feel. But I'm telling you today, God wants passion back into the church. He wants passion. He doesn't want negativity. He doesn't want coldness. He doesn't want distance. He wants you and I
and the church across this nation, which is in trouble by the way it's acting right now. It is shrinking. It's not growing. People are exiting and not entering. Because they're not consumed with God's house. What does passion mean? Let me give you another one. Strong and barely controllable emotion. You can barely control it. Passion. This is how it is with God. He has a passion for us, and He gave His Son Jesus to show it. We should have a passion for Him that when we said, I give you my life, we meant it. Amen. My life doesn't belong to anybody else, spiritually speaking, but God. My life belongs to my wife because we're twined together as one flesh. My life belongs to my children because I am a man that raises his children. My life belongs to my grandchildren because my grandchildren need someone that's living a life of God that they can see that standard of righteousness there and have something to line themselves up to. My church, they need a pastor that's going to be passionate and not afraid to stand up against the enemy's lies. Amen. Because I believe a pastor should serve his church, should wash the feet of the saints of God, should be a servant leader, be enslaved to ministry, spiritually speaking, that the church knows that the person that's standing before them or leading them or praying with them is someone that will not stop till the end where the miracle comes. Amen. It's a vehement desire. Desire to do something. It's a deep zeal or zealousness. Do we have zeal for the kingdom's work? Do we have zeal to see when somebody else is hurting that we're there supporting them? Amen. That man on the road that day, the Good Samaritan comes by and finds him there. That man was beat up. I'm sure he had a lot to complain about if he could talk, but they beat him up so bad he was left as dead. I'm sure he would have something to say, like, man, I was just walking down the road and these guys jumped on me, beat me up, took everything I have. I can't even see out of the slits of my eyes right now. I'm so beat up. I just want to complain about it. He would have just picked him up, carried him and took him to the inn, poured oil on his wounds, cared for him, and then said to the innkeeper, here's some money. And if you need more when I get back, I'll have more for you. Care for him. That's passion. Amen. That's passion. When they came out of the upper room, they didn't come out just walking down those steps. They came out praising, shouting, dancing, speaking in a new language that everybody could understand in the different areas and the townships and the regions that were represented that day. They had passion. The first message that was preached in the gospel under the anointing of the Holy Ghost of the disciples there was by Peter, and 3,000 people got saved, and they said, what meaneth this? Oh, would I would hear this again in the church world. What does this mean? Why are people so excited? What is it? Why? We'll say, you're a preacher, you know, you don't have any problems. My goodness gracious. I just live above them. They're there. But I'd rather go to God and talk to Him about it, but have passion for ministry, passion that will consume me. That's why I tell everybody about Jesus wherever I go. That's why I yelled at Skechers a couple weeks ago right there. Turned around to the whole store and said, "Everybody, go to church this coming Sunday." And they all looked at me like, "Okay." And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "That's exactly what I used to tell Billy Sunday to do. We need to obey God when he says, 'Let my name be known.'" There's a baseball game in Fresno the other day. Grizzlies, they're called. They're a New York Mets AAA team. And overseer bought us tickets to go, myself and one of the other pastors. You know, God knows how to take care of you when you have passion. Listen to this. I left my wallet, you know, and with cash. I didn't have any cash. I had my cards with me, but, you know, I was hungry and you know, I was going to a baseball game and, you know, I eat really well, really healthy, you know, and I'm like, uh-oh, baseball game food, you know, that whole thing, you know, big old sausages and stuff like that, you know, just like, okay, stomach, here it comes, but I got to have something in there, you know, that whole thing. And I'm walking around there and all of a sudden I walk by and there's this table, bowls of oranges on it. I'm thinking, all right. So I walk up and I said, "Do you guys take Visa?" And he goes, "No, we left it at home." I said, "Oh, man." And the next one, you know, there was a, you know, beautiful, just fat, greasy French fries, garlic fries, which I love garlic, you know that, you know. And so I went like, you know, no. So I'm walking, all of a sudden I'm seeing a nut stand and stuff like that, and they got nuts and all. I'm thinking, well, let's get a little bit better, you know. And all of a sudden I walk by this place. I say, "Hey, how y'all doing?" I said, "How much does this cost?" He says, "It's free." "I'm in a baseball game." He says, "It's free." I said, "What are you?" He says, "Well, those are organic bananas, big old fat navel oranges, infused water with peppermint and mango, kale salad." I said, "Well, how much is it?" He says, "It's all free." So, and I was just so bowled over, I just said, "Okay, great." So I gathered all the kale salad. I took it up to the other pastor, and I didn't eat it because it had onions in it. You know, why people ruin food with onions. But anyhow, they did that, you know. And so I gave it to him, and I ate this big old orange as big as my face, you know. And I'm sharing it with him. He said, no. I said, "No, you got to taste the sweet." It was the sweetest orange in the world. Two organic bananas. I was all over it. So I said, "I got to go find out what their story is." I thought, my goodness gracious, something's going on there, you know. So I walked down and I said, "Hey, what's up with all this? Why are you guys doing this?" "Oh, we're Whole Foods. We just moved into Fresno. So we're at the baseball game letting everybody know they're there." And I said, "Man, you're my friend." I said, "Can I get some more?" "I'm sorry, I get some more." And he said, "Yeah." And I took three more oranges, two more bananas, you know, and I got more. I mean, I was great. So I walk back down there and I look over and there's this people over there called Team Impact. I said, "What's this? It's a baseball game." Can you imagine going to the 49ers or the A's or the Giants games, you know? I mean, you got to have like $100 to get a sausage there. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I walk up and I say, "What do you guys got going here? There's oranges all over the table." "Oh, we're one of our friends just passed away. And she wanted to go to Africa. So we're going to go to Africa for her. So we have this stand here called Team Impact." And I said, "Well, that is great." And I said, "You know what? Can I pray for you?" They said, "What?" I said, "I'm a pastor. I'd like to pray for you." They come around the table. I'm just telling you, this is passion in me. To touch lives. They come around the table. I prayed for them. And they started crying their eyes out. Hugging me. And I'm looking around. All these, you know, I'm hugging myself. You know, it's all right. We don't have to hug that long. We're all right. I said, "What do your oranges go for?" She goes, "Oh, no, Pastor. You can have them. You can have oranges." And I said, "No." I said, I don't have any cash with me. And I refuse to take the donation because somebody else will use that money for Team Impact. But I want you to know that these things, every day, God just doesn't give them to Dennis. Every day he gives them to all of us. Where people come into our life. And we have to say yes to God and begin to act out our passion before them. And by the way, I told Whole Foods that I lived in Santa Cruz and also up, we have a church up in Hope for the Bay, and that, you know, I'm a pastor and I'll be praying for them.
I mean, he told me his story, so why couldn't I tell him mine? It's important that we have this. So when we look at this, you know when you are around someone that is passionate for something, because you'll make them uncomfortable if you're not. But if you are, you'll be glad that there's somebody else doing it, that they're passionate. You can tell by their approach, their speech, and their actions. Some people like to say that person's intense. Well, maybe they're intense because they're so in love with Jesus that they just cannot control it. I mean, it's that important. By the way, the other two waitresses down there when I was in Fresno, they come up and the waitress says, "Well, how you doing?" I said, "Good. Where you go to church?" "What do you want for lunch?" "Well, I'm not eating today." And he is, you know, because if you've ever been out to eat with me, I'm really quirky. Like, I'll sit down, everybody else get all the food, and I go, "Nah." You know, so I ended up getting something so I didn't make the other guy feel so bad. But she didn't come to our table for a while. Then I got, then she came back, and I said, she had something written, tattooed on her arm, like, you know, it was a Disneyland thing, you know, time is so special. Some Disneyland tattoo with Mickey Mouse, you know, and stuff. I said, "Well, listen, you see what that says on your arm? Time is so special." She goes, "Yeah." I said, "You need to get to church." She goes, "You know what? I never looked at it like that. You're right. I'm going to start going again." Praise God. You see, it's just waking up passion in people's lives is what our job is to do. Our employment by God is to wake up the God in them that's there. When you have passion for something or some activity, you live it. You think about it, and you plan how to involve your whole self into it. What you are passionate about, you live it. You actually live out your passion. You know, some of you are so talented. Some of you have such great gifts, and to combine, you make a great unit of people. Your giftings and your talents are what God gave you. Not so you could say, "Look what I can do." But you can say, "Look what God can do in me. He wants to do it in you." It's not about you or I. It's about Jesus. It's about His kingdom. It's about our future. It's about who we are passionate about. My God, He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, who was passionate on that cross. Passionate in the Garden of Eden. Passionate even as we speak today about this world, because He's forever interceding for us. Hebrews 7:25. Passion for souls. I care for the lost. Amen. I care for my children's souls. I care for my neighbors. Everybody, all my neighbors know I'm a pastor. Amen. One of them got in an accident about a year ago, flipped her car over right on the road. Everybody got her out. Fortunately, she wasn't killed. Little tiny car like this. You know, she flips it over and she gets out, and she's tall. I don't even know how she gets in the car. Got her out. Everybody says, "Okay, goodbye." You know where I was the next 20 minutes? 5 minutes later, as soon as I knew she was home, I told Kathy, "I'm going next door. I'm going to go talk to her for 45 minutes. I talked her ear off because she said she had got hit in the head. I asked her where she was from originally. I asked her all sorts of questions that you would ask someone. I have passion for her soul, passion for that family. To speak to them and make sure she was all right, because she was all alone in that house. You see, well, we have to have passion for the lost. Everybody you see, have passion for them. Because that's important. A I walked out of a place the other day visiting somebody, and you know, and walking out, and then in this home where I visited, there's older people there, and I walked out, and there, leaving on the front door, and I turned around. There's a woman sitting in a wheelchair right there in the middle of this entranceway, vestibule, whatever you want to call it, you know. And the Holy Spirit said, "Don't say anything. Just turn around and give her a big old dentist smile." I turned around and gave her a big smile, and her eyes just perked up. And I turned and walked away. Everybody can smile. Everybody can smile and give somebody something, because the passion of the Lord consumes us. Passion to do what is right. There's too many people in this world today that are doing what is wrong. Passion to do what is right. I mean, I don't have the time today to tell you what is right, and even the smallest thing, by greeting someone, saying hello to them, is what is right. The smallest thing. "Hi, how are you?" To the greatest thing is helping somebody up that fell down, or going to visit somebody that is bedridden and to talk to them. Put your arm around somebody that you know and say, "You know what? I'm praying for you." I know when I text people and I say I'm praying for you, people are going, "I know you, I know you." I love it, because I want you to know, when I say I'm praying, I'm praying. I don't have the TV in one hand going, "I'm praying. Oh yeah." You know, no, I am praying. And we need to have passion for these people. We need to have passion for people that are hurting. We need to greet people that we love. We need to hug people that we love. We need to tell people that there is a King of Kings and the Lord of Glory who wants to touch their life. Passion to do what is right. This world is full of passion to do what is wrong. Passion for ministry. Oh my goodness, I don't want to stay here too long, but we need more passion in ministry again. Passion in ministry doesn't mean you just attend church. You got some sort of a piece of paper. That paper don't mean nothing to God. Did you hear what I just said? It doesn't mean a thing to God. The paper just says to the world that this great movement has gone ahead and validated you. Ministers need to be ministers. On fire for God. Wake up what's inside of you. And move in the power and the passion for the lost. This nation is full of ministers sitting in pews waiting for the pastor to die so they may get to church. Passion. Pastor, this sounds so strong. If I could tear my chest open right now, spiritually, you would see flames burning for God. And if you could ask the Lord to show you the numbness and yet almost the death that He sees in church, because people are not on fire, not passionate for their ministry, not passionate. When I got saved, I bought a Bible. A Ryrie Study Bible, $65, black, best leather you could buy, gold trim. And I carried that everywhere with me. It drove my father-in-law crazy. Every time he seen me, I go, "When am I preaching?" Passion for ministry. So ministers, if you're here today with a hearing ear, get on fire. Speak it wherever you go. Live it wherever you're at. Because you are somebody's life ring to Jesus. That's who you are. Passion, passionate in your speaking. I mean, we need to be passionate about what we're talking about. You ever heard somebody talk that wasn't passionate about it? Well, you don't listen to them long because you're asleep. You're just asleep. But when you're passionate about something, you want to talk about it. You want to share it. Passionate for Jesus. How deep is the passion for Jesus that you have today? How deep is it? Would you do anything Jesus asked you to do? If you said yes, I want you to turn your Bible, and I'm going to show you a couple scriptures that he said in a few moments. We're going to close in a few moments. He wants you to be passionate. Well, I'll be passionate my own way. No, you'll be passionate in God's way. Amen. Praise God. To be passionate. How passionate is your love for the Lord? Think about it. Just think about how passionate your love is for the Lord. Matthew 22 and 37 says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Love God with everything that you're made out of. So when trouble comes your way, say, "Trouble, I'm too busy loving God." Circumstances weigh you down. Circumstances aren't too much in love for God for you to come over on top of me. I'm going to live above my circumstances. I'm going to fly like the eagle up above my circumstances. And He is going to renew my strength. I have a passion and a zeal for Jesus Christ. I love Him with all that I have. How much do you love Him? I love Him to speak His word no matter where. We're living in a hell-bent world. We're coming into elections that are as fearful that this nation has ever seen. We got governments across who are building rockets right now and testing them that are literally, I believe, on the edge of insanity in their thought and their thinking. We have schools that are denying Christ in our own nation. Governments, agencies that are denying the power of Jesus Christ in our own nation. We need to show the love of God passionately. We need to be praying. We need to be praising. We need to be calling people to repentance. We need to show what God has done for us in our life. You have to understand that our whole position in the kingdom is to show passion. Yes. People should know when you walk into a room. I go into rooms and people stop and look at me. I walk down the street, and this has happened to me more times than I can count on my hands, where somebody's walking down the street and I'm walking down the street and they turn to me and they said this. The last one said, "Get out of our city now." The enemy recognizes passion. I've had the enemy speak through demon-possessed people at me so many times. Stare at me. "Get out. Get out. Don't bother us here." Let me tell you something right now. Come alive for Jesus today. Come alive for the King of Kings. Oh my God, I think the bell's rung. Come alive for the King of Glory. He's soon to come for His church. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. First Peter 1:8-9, "Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with all, with joy inexpressible and full of glory." I like what it says in the King James. It says, "Joy unspeakable." What kind of joy is that, Pastor? What kind of joy is that, Dennis? What kind of joy is that, preacher? Whatever name you want to give me, what kind of joy is that? That's when tears roll down your face and your knees get wobbly and all you can do is hold on because you're so intent in His presence and so in love with Him. You have never seen Him. You've never met Him physically, but you know that He exists. He's saying in this message here in 1 Peter 1, 8, 9, act like it. Act like it. Don't get caught up in this world's negative way of doing things. Never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. first to the Jew and then to the Greek. Never fail to think that God isn't performing a work in you and he'll complete it until the day of the Lord, Philippians 1 and 6. Never forget that he said, I'll always be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never forget that he said, greater works that you shall do than I did. It's expedient that I go unto the Father for this. I'm sending you a comforter, the Parakletos, the one who will walk along your side, who will testify of me, show you things to come, and reveal truth to you. Praise God. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Jesus stated this, Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's saying, stay passionate. I'm leaving. Stay passionate. Bring this message that I have given to you to a world of darkness and sin. He meant this to be accepted with a response, with a passion to go and tell them for me. The church must restore these keys to the church Jesus meant her to be. The sound of repentance, the sound of praise, the sound of prayer, and the sound of passion. My friend, let me tell you something. Please listen to me. I'm closing right now. This is it. I'm just saying, I know you struggle. We all do. I know we have problems in our lives. We all have problems. I know things come. Sometimes we make a mistake and we bring things on our own life. But God, who is rich in mercy, for we were yet in darkness, he died for us. Praise God. He is able to do all that we ask or think, exceedingly more than able. To do all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Yeah. He's abundant. He's our sustainer. He's our God. He's our mercy. He's our joy. He's our grace. He's our King. He's our hallelujah. He is the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, the creator of the heavens and earth. He is our Savior. And there is still power in the name of Jesus. He is Jesus.